So how are the people from Singapore doing? Difficult, huh? Sleepy? Drowsy? Huh? Just think of something that makes you really angry. And then you're not drowsy anymore.
Huh? 4 hours a night is very high candle. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Between, yeah, I mean, if you practice the whole day, 4 to 5 hours, yeah? Anything, you know, is dreaming. Yeah? I don't think anybody of us wants to go to hell. No? But we do all the things, you know, that lead us to hell. Yeah? Yeah? What is the protection of not going to hell? Yeah? It's keeping the 5 precepts. Yeah? People don't seem to understand the impact of the 5 precepts. The Lord Buddha said it's our protection not to go down to the lower realms. Yeah? What are the lower realms? Yeah? It starts with the animal realms, yeah? Then the ghost realms, hungry ghost realms, the demon realm, and the hell realms. Yeah? And there are 25 different hell realms, yeah? Depending on the precepts that we break. Yeah? So what are the precepts? What are the 5 basic precepts? The first one is not harming any living being. Yeah? It's not only not harming humans, yeah? Not harming animals and other beings. The second one is not to take what is not given. Yeah? That's difficult, yeah? When we work, you know, in a company, yeah, including the Sachin here, yeah, I mean, then this pencil and that pencil, you know, or this item or that item, yeah, went in our pocket, yeah, that is, was taken what is not given, yeah. So we all went against the precept. It's not only stealing, yeah. It's even taking the apples from the neighbor's garden, yeah? If he doesn't give us any assurance, yeah, okay, go ahead, you know, take whatever you want, yeah? Lungda Mahaboy, you know, told the story when he was young, you know, when he went to the, sugarcane fields, yeah? So, you know, I mean, they were young, you know, so they cut down some of the sugarcane, you know, but the sugarcane belonged to his aunt, yeah? And so when he came back, his aunt, yeah, would, and he said, no, we didn't do it, yeah. So that is, for instance, going against the precept, yeah. What is the third precept? Sexual misconduct, yeah. Number one crime in this world. Yeah? What is sexual misconduct? Yeah? If you're married, you know, going outside of the marriage, yeah. But it's also, yeah, I mean, having an affair with a married woman, yeah, that's also sexual misconduct. Having an affair with a married man, it's also sexual misconduct. Yeah? Having an affair with somebody who is dependent on you, it's also sexual misconduct. So, a father-mother and son or daughter relationship, yeah? Or a teacher and student relationship. Or prof, yeah, and a student relationship. That is all sexual misconduct. Anybody who is dependent on us, yeah, it's sexual misconduct. Yeah? And, yeah, of course, you know, I mean, the chef, the CEO of a company, yeah, with all the people who are dependent on him, yeah, who get the salary from him, yeah. And when you look around in the world, that is the number one crime. Yeah? So lots of people will go down to hell. Yeah? What is the fourth precept? Yeah? No lies. No harsh speech. Yeah? You know, for the Westerners, criticizing, you know, in order to harm other people, to feel them down, to make them feel down, and so on and so on. That's the fourth precept. And the fifth precept is no alcohol, no drugs, everything that makes us unmindful. Keeping these five precepts are our protection. So remember them. When you're in the monastery, you keep the eight precepts of not eating, no sexual conduct at all, not eating after midday. What is it? Not sleeping on high beds, not using perfume and wearing ornaments. These are the eight precepts. And it's good, it's our protection. Don't think of it, I can't do it. It's our protection from going down to the lower realms. And the question that I asked in the beginning, I don't think there is anybody here who wants to go down to the lower realms. Remember this? It's a teaching of the Lord Buddha. And then there are three virtues. When you keep the five precepts, that means you get the the allowance to come back as a human being. In order to come back as a human being, we need to keep the five precepts. If you don't keep, we go down to the lower realm. If you keep them, we can come back. It is just like your passport. The moment you leave the country, and you don't keep the five precepts, somebody takes your passport away, you can't come back to that country where you want to. But for us as practitioners, and also for people who are interested in going up to heaven, there are three virtues that are required. And these virtues that are required is generosity. Being generous, not being stingy. A lot of people, also especially in the West, are stingy. They don't want to give. They only want to have. Giving is something that is very important. Why is it important? To give away material things is much easier than to give away ideas, thoughts, convictions. And when we look at our practice, we need to get rid of them. So it is much more difficult to get rid, or let go of ideas than to let go of material possessions. Material possessions are not so important for us, for most of us, than our ideas and our convictions. So that's why we need, as a practitioner, we need to have a certain amount of this virtue of generosity. Also, the virtue of generosity actually makes us able, in previous lives, makes us able to stay here in a monastery or become a monk and be taken care of. That is the result of our generosity from previous lives. Otherwise, we don't have the chance. nobody gives us any food, just like in one of the suttas. There was a very stingy person who could ordain, but the people never saw him. So, if he was in the beginning of the of the group, the people just didn't give any food to him. He never had any food in his bowl. Then they put him in the middle. Then he didn't have any food in his bowl. Then they put him at the end. Then he didn't have any food in his bowl. A grump of rice. That is the result of stinginess. No matter, people, it's his karma, he doesn't get anything, if he has not given anything. So generosity is very important, being really generous. Also we know that generosity, the karmic effect, if you're very generous, we come back as a rich person. We are born in a rich family, we don't have to worry about this, we don't have to worry about all these things, because everything from everywhere, things are coming. We don't have to play the lottery, what a lot of people do, I want to get rich, or steal something, because they see the neighbors have something that they want as well, and even at the time of the Lord Buddha, there was one of the monks, I don't remember his name. He got more presents than the Lord Buddha himself. Wherever he went, you know, I mean, people just wanted to give. Yeah? Oh, where is he, you know? Huh? And the Lord Buddha, you know, went on Pindapat and he didn't get a lot. Because all the people were going to see the other monk, you know, who was overflowing, you know, with food and other things, yeah. So I mean, it is the generosity, and it is these kind of generosity that leads us, you know, if we don't make the way out, yeah. I mean, it leads us to a comfortable life, yeah. But as we know from karma. Whatever we want to have in the next life, we have to prepare in this life. Yeah, it's not coming out of the blue. Yeah, whatever we get in this life, it's coming from the previous life. Khao chai bang mai? Huh? Kam, na? Mai kam, samkhan ma. Yak dai alai ko tong pluk wan ni, pluk chat ni, ko chat na chamarap. What is the second? The second is respect, yeah? Respecting people. Yeah? People don't understand, you know, especially from the West, you know, they don't understand the word of respect. They think that respect has something to do with liking a person, or valuing a person. No, respect is something, respecting somebody, yeah? As a human being or as an animal. Yeah, he earns our respect, yeah? Because coming back as a human being, that certainly means that he has to have keeping the five precepts. He had to be good for a certain amount of time, yeah, to come back as a human being. Yeah, so that earns our respect. So we should respect everybody, no matter if we like him or not like him. That doesn't mean that, you know, that we have to respect murderers. That we have to like murderers, you know, and say, you know, yes, what they do is great. No, that has nothing to do with respect. Yeah? Respecting is respecting somebody, you know, as a being, as a human being. Yeah? I mean, the Lord Buddha talked about it. Yeah, if you can't find anything good, you know, about a person, yeah, you still can respect him, yeah, as a human being. Yeah. And that is something, you know, we mixed up, especially in the West, we mixed up, yeah. Oh, I don't like him, he doesn't have good behavior, so I don't respect him, yeah. That means also, you know, that we don't respect certain things within us that we don't like, yeah, and that we are not yet aware of, yeah. Not being able to respect another person means not being able to respect oneself, yeah. And we should respect ourselves, yeah. No matter if we are good or bad, yeah. Just remember, yeah, any kind of human being, any kind of being that is born in one of the three realms of existence, yeah, has greed and hate, yeah, has good and evil, yeah. Even the devas, yeah. I mean, at the moment they enjoy their fortune that they planted, you know, lifetimes after lifetimes, yeah. Now they enjoy it, you know. And when they come back, you know, some of them go to hell, just like Lungda Mahabho said, yeah? Being in this kind of heaven and going to that kind of hell, then going up to another kind of heaven and then going up to another kind of hell, yeah? Just because, you know, it's different kinds of karma lead to different kinds of hell, different kinds of, you know, good karma lead to different kinds of heavenly realms, yeah? So, what is the last virtue that we need, yeah? I mean, respecting also means, especially for us, respecting the Dhamma. Yeah? Having respect for the teaching. Yeah? Not thinking, what the Lord Buddha said, yes, this I like, this I don't like. Yeah? What happens very often? Yeah? Oh, the Lord Buddha wasn't right in this respect, he wasn't right in that respect, because times have changed. Yes, times have changed. Yeah? But what has changed? Yeah? Only the play toys of the kilesas have changed. The basic structure has not changed. Yeah? So when the Lord Buddha saw, you know, and taught us, you know, I mean, he taught us well. Yeah, I mean, who is a Buddha? Who is on the way to become a Buddha? Yeah, Think about all the Chatakas, you know, that are written down in the suttas, yeah, what the Lord Buddha had to go through, yeah. When you look at the Chatakas about generosity, I mean, he had to give up his life, you know, for a lion or for a tiger that was, yeah, was hungry and didn't have any energy anymore, you know, to feed his two cubs, yeah. So he gave his life, you know, for this tiger, or, yeah, probably tiger. India had tigers, yeah, they didn't have lions, yeah. Gave his life for the tiger so that, you know, this tiger could, yeah, feed his cubs, yeah. That is generosity, yeah. Or he had to give up his loving wife and his children to somebody, you know, he didn't really like, yeah. And now think about our generosity, yeah. Then we see, you know, I mean, we are quite selfish, yeah. We are not really that generous, yeah. But it is necessary. Yeah? Respect is also necessary. Respecting the Dhamma is very necessary also in our practice. If you can't respect the Dhamma, yeah, then it means, you know, we only respect the kilesas, our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own views, our own opinions, yeah. Respecting the Dhamma means, you know, we're placing something, you know, higher than us, yeah. Our own opinions, yeah. The teaching of the Lord Buddha is the highest, you know, you can find in all the three realms, yeah. And so the devas normally do respect it very highly, yeah. They think very highly of the teaching of the Lord Buddha. But human beings, you know, I mean, they study at the university, you know, they get clever and cleverer and cleverer, yeah. And then they think they are cleverer than the Lord Buddha. And so they start to disrespect him and say, ah, oh, yeah, that is inconsistent, that's, yeah. But actually, you know, what it is, you know, it is, this I don't like, so it is not true. That I don't like, this is not true. That cannot be true. This is not necessary, and that is not necessary, because times have changed. No, yes, times have changed. Yeah? But as I said, you know, the only thing that has changed is not the principles that the Lord Buddha taught us. What has changed is the play toys. And now, look at our world. We have so many play toys, yeah? And all these play toys, you know, lead us, you know, to do bad things, yeah, most of it, yeah. And some of it, you know, some of these play toys are just designed, you know, to make us unmindful, yeah, to lose our sati, yeah, and to, you know, just to listen, you know, to listen to somebody else. Yeah? Highly influencing. So that we don't, you know, that we don't have any minute of time, yeah, when you look at the smartphones of nowadays, yeah, we don't have any time to think for ourselves, yeah. 30 years ago, I mean, we had lots of time to think for ourselves, yeah. Nowadays, I mean, in every job, you know, that is there, you know, I mean, you're pressed and pressured, yeah. You have to give results, yeah. So you don't really have time, you know. When you come home, you're tired, and you don't really have time, you know, to think about what is important in my life, yeah. And the last of the virtues is gratitude, yeah. For instance, yeah, I mean, being here in the monastery, yeah, being grateful for the people who give you the food, yeah. Being grateful that, you know, somebody gives you a place where you can stay and practice. How can we not be grateful for that? Yeah? We think, you know, I mean, it's our right, yeah? A lot of people, especially from the West, you know, think it is our right, you know, to stay at a certain place. Or, yeah, even if we become a monk, to stay at a certain monastery. It's not our right. Our only right that we have is the result of our karma. Yeah? Whatever we have done in the past, you know, that is our right. Yeah, we can live off that. Yeah, but we cannot, we cannot postulate any kind of right. Yeah, if the parents, you know, don't pay for our education, we don't have a right. Yeah, if they pay for our education, then that's fine. Yeah? That is our good karma. Yeah. And now look what is happening in the West, you know. I mean, children suing their parents, you know, not forgiving this or not forgiving that. I mean, how ungrateful is this world, yeah? So gratefulness, yeah, and gratefulness for receiving Dhamma is of utmost importance for us. Yeah? How can we not be grateful for the things that we receive? Yeah? For the Dhamma that is taught to us, yeah? That is, yeah, like Lungda Mahabhor said, you know, it is torn out of the heart, yeah? It is ripped out of his heart, you know, I mean, to give it to the lay people, you know, who are listening to the Dhamma. So how can we not be grateful? Yeah? So these three virtues, yeah, practiced in a certain amount of way, you know, lead us to heaven, yeah, together with the five precepts. But also, yeah, make it possible for us to go along the path, yeah, the path of sila, samadhi, panya. And sila are the precepts, samadhi is the development of concentration and the development of sati, this awareness that knows what is going on. Yeah, and panya is the investigation, there is the development of wisdom through investigation. Yeah? And what do we investigate? We investigate the things that we believe we are. Yeah? And the first thing that we always believe, yeah, in the morning when we look in the mirror, is the body. Of course we believe that we are the body. Yeah? How can we not believe we are the body? We are born in the body, we die in the body, how can we not believe we are the body? Yeah? Unless we are able, you know, to find a way out of the body and have a look at the body and then see, ah, we are not the body. Yeah? Just like a person, you know, who is born in a car, yeah, who lives in a car, never gets out of a car and dies in a car, of course he believes that he is the car. Yeah, so he will be very afraid, you know, when the car starts to break down, just like most of the people are really afraid when the body starts to break down, gets old and breaks down, you know, and then dies, yeah? Because we inherently attach, yeah, to this body and think this body is us, yeah? So how can we not be afraid, you know, if this us is dying, yeah? And that's what happens to most of the people, yeah? But if we understand the truth, you know, that we are not the body, I mean, why should we be afraid, yeah? When our car is dying, you know, and it cannot be repaired anymore, I mean, then we know, you know, we don't cry very much, yeah, unless we don't have any money to buy a new car. Then we might cry for a few times, yeah? But then, you know, then we look for another car, yeah? But when the car, you know, breaks down, it doesn't mean that we break down. But we believe it, yeah? And just think about, you know, when you get really sick, yeah? What is the thought coming up when you're really sick and you can't really move? I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, yeah? Every one of us thinks the same, yeah? Every one of us thinks, you know, I mean, the body, you know, I mean, it's so weak, so fragile, you know, and there's no hope, you know, because for that moment, yeah? We see, you know, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, yeah? And 3 days later, you know, I mean, we are healthy again, yeah? Body's well again, yeah? And where is this thought, I'm dying? How did this thought come up in our mind? If we are not, yeah, attached to this body, if we don't believe we are this body, why is this thought coming up, yeah? I'm dying, I'm dying, yeah? If we are really detached from the body, then say, okay, the body is dying, okay, let's have a look for another one. Yeah? If we are so inclined, you know, to have a new body, yeah? If we think it is so much fun to have a new body. Body investigation is the number one investigation, yeah? And especially in the line of Lumpuman and Lungda Mahabhor, it is the number one topic, yeah? Lungda Mahabhor, you know, talks all the time, you know, about investigation of the body, yeah? Asupa, asupang, yeah? Seeing the loathsomeness of the body. Seeing that we are not the body, yeah? Opening up the body and everybody gets scared, yeah? I mean, seeing all these grease, you know, seeing all this blood, seeing all this pus, you know, seeing this raw flesh, yeah? What's so beautiful about the body? Yeah? It's just the skin that we think, the skin. And that is what Lungda Mahabhor often says, you know, the skin, this thing, tissue, yeah, that covers all this mess up, yeah, is the true deceiver. Yeah? Because all what we see is the outside. All what we see is this form. All what we see is the skin, the hair, the teeth, yeah? And the nails, yeah? For women, the nails are very important, yeah? I mean, they spend a lot of time, you know, taking care of their nails and their hair, yeah? And constantly changing, you know, their hairstyle, yeah? And using makeup, yeah? Sometimes they use so much makeup that I can't even recognize who's that. When the villagers, you know, I mean, preparing to go to a festivity, you know, to one of the monasteries. I mean, that sounds, looks familiar, but, you know, I... That's what we do, you know, I mean, we use the body. It is our, yeah. how do you say it? It's a sign for our restaurant, yeah. Or the sign for our shop. It's our shop sign, yeah? And the shop sign is very important, or used to be very important, yeah? I mean, the more impressive it is, the more people are standing there and looking inside, yeah? If it is not impressive, there's nobody looking inside the shop, yeah? And that's the same with our body. We use the body, you know, as a shop sign. We sell ourselves, yeah? Through our body, through our movement, yeah? Through our gestures, that's how we sell, you know, sell ourselves to other people. Yeah? And just remember, you know, the encounters you had with different kinds of people, yeah? But how do you approach, you know, a new person that you didn't know, yeah? You tell him how bad you are, you know, you show your bad things, you know, you don't dress up, yeah? Of course we do dress up, yeah? We want to look nice, we want to look handsome or beautiful, yeah? When we meet another person and we, you know, and we want to persuade him so that he thinks that we are good people, yeah? Of course we don't tell him, you know, I'm so greedy, you know, I'm very, very irrational, you know. We don't tell that to people. They have to find it out after a while, yeah? So we use this body, yeah? And that's why, you know, body investigation is the number one investigation that we do that leads to wisdom. Yeah? And the first kind of investigation that we start to do is get detached from this body. Yeah? We still, you know, I mean, every one of us likes a nice car, yeah? There's nothing wrong with liking a car, but as long as we know we are not the car, you know, there's not so much problem with it, yeah? But then, you know, having this car, we know, I mean, it breaks down, we need to take care of it, yeah? And it consumes up a lot of money, yeah? Money that we have to earn, and it consumes a lot of energy, yeah? But we can use it to drive around. And that is the same thing with the body. Huh? When we remember, you know, I mean, it took us 15 years to train this body, yeah? Train it to walk, train it to talk, train it to think, yeah? Before we are actually able to use it. Yeah? And then we can use it for about 30 years without any major problems, and then all the problems starts, yeah? With the age of 45, you know, then the problem starts, you know, because the body starts to decay, yeah? And in the beginning it decays very slowly, you know, and then more and more rapidly until there's no more breath left, yeah? And that's when we die. Yeah? So, in these 30 years of time, that we have time, you know, to use the body in full strength, yeah? I mean, we normally use it, we don't think about it, yeah? We only think about the body when it gets old and sick, yeah? And it doesn't work anymore. Yeah? Why doesn't it work anymore? So, of course, the young people don't understand that because the body is still healthy. Only older people, you know, who have the age where certain things just don't work anymore, you know, I realize, this body, yeah, I mean, it's the end of the lifetime of the body, yeah, just like with a car, yeah. But as much as we like a body, you know, if you understand, you know, we are not the body, there's not so much trouble, yeah, because that at the end of the life cycle of a body, I mean, we are not afraid, you know, to die, because we know we just go, you know, and receive the karma that we have done, yeah, if we understand karma, yeah? we receive the karma that we have done, and if we have done a lot of good karma, we don't have worries. Yeah, look at really good people. They're never worried about dying. Yeah, it's only the people who have done a lot of bad things. Yeah, and this memory of these bad things comes just up, you know, before their death, and that's why. Yeah, and where do they go? Yeah, they're drawn into hell. Yeah, but if a person has done a lot of good things, you know, I mean, he never worries about dying because he knows, yeah. Like what do we say in German? You know, ein ruhiges Gewissen ist das beste Ruhekissen. Yeah? A clear conscience, you know, is the best. You know, is the best pillow. You know, we sleep very soundly. Yeah. But if you're worried, you know, every one of us, you know, has the experience of being worried about this or worried about that. You can't really sleep well, yeah? Because we still constantly think and worry about this and worry about that. Does it happen? Does it not happen? You know, what am I going to do? Yeah? All this planning. It's useless. Huh? But we still do it, yeah? We're planning about a future that has not arisen, and we want to, yeah? And we are constantly in the past, you know, and want to change the past that cannot be changed. We know that. Yeah? The only moment that we live is in this very moment, yeah, in this present, yeah. And if we are in thoughts, we are actually not living anymore. Yeah, we are in thoughts, we are in ideas, we are in views and opinions. Yeah, exchange our opinions. Yeah, while we are eating, yeah, at Namron, yeah. We are eating, you know, changing opinions. We don't eat. How can we notice what we are eating? Yeah, discussing this, discussing that. Yeah? So, understanding the nature of the body, yeah? That is very important. Understanding that we are not the body. Yeah? I mean, that is the third fetter. Yeah? I mean, I was talking often about it. Yeah? The second fetter is. Has only to do something with the precepts, yeah? Not keeping the precepts and keeping the precepts and not keeping the precepts, yeah? I mean fiddling with the precepts, yeah? And the first fetter is not believing that there's heaven and hell, yeah? Not believing that there's karma, that there are results of karma, that there are beings in heaven and there are beings in hell, yeah? Not believing that there's good karma or bad karma, yeah? People who don't believe that there's karma, I mean, they do all these bad things, you know, that only leads them to hell, yeah? If I don't believe in the law of my country and say, okay, stealing is okay, yeah, and then the police comes and catches me and says, no, stealing is not okay. Oh, I didn't know that, yeah. Do you think any court, you know, will say, you're forgiven because you didn't know the law? Huh? So when we die, you know, and when we come in front of the judge and then we say, oh, we didn't know that this is against the precepts, yeah? They say, I don't care, yeah. You're still punished according to the law, yeah. And the law are the five precepts, yeah. And we should take them really seriously, yeah. Understand? Huh? Okay. So now you can have questions, yeah. Yes, that is the body, Fagundo. It gives us constant trouble, yeah? It's in pain, it's in pain, it's in pain, but the body doesn't know what is pain. If you really investigate pain, does the body know pain? Who is the one who knows that there is pain? Yeah? Not the body. Huh? Huh? But you haven't seen it. You only know it here, up here. There, you have to see it, yeah? The difference is, huh? Knowing, you know, all knowing people, you know, I mean, huh? In the West they all know the suttas, but the heart is completely blocked, yeah? And that's why they think they are cleverer, they think that they know everything, yeah? Some people, you know, believe they are sotapannas, they are stream entries, because, you know, they read all the suttas, they understand everything, you know, and then they say, oh, yeah. I have no problem, yeah? Eh? They go against the precepts and when they die, you know, they end up in hell and say, why is it so hot here, huh? Why do they tear out my tongue? Yeah? Because I lied, yeah? Yeah? Wolf.
Yeah, I have one question. When I belong to Samadhi,
yeah?
And everything is calm,
yeah?
The breath is nearly zero, and the pain is not very strong.
Yeah?
And I jump from this feeling sometimes and enjoy it. But I read now in your book that it's not very complex.
If it is not strong enough, you know, I mean, keep on your Buddha or keep on the breath, yeah? But because you seem to, yeah, you said the breath is nearly zero, that is where we always go wrong. Every one of us goes wrong, yeah? Because then we still, you know, we are still with the feeling of the breath instead of knowing the breath. Because actually what is happening, the breath becomes very subtle, we can't feel it anymore, but when we do it, you know, when we do anapanasati correctly, while the breath becomes more subtle, the knowingness increases. So in the end, we can't even feel the breath anymore, but we know each cycle of the breath, each slice of the breath. We know it so clearly, you know, it's a complete awareness, and it shuts down everything else, yeah? And that's where a lot of people, you know, get misled because they hear, you know, when the breath, you know, when the breath disappears, that's when we are in samadhi. No, when the breath disappears, you know, our interest in the breath disappears. And that's probably why you go to the feeling of pain, yeah? But you should try to revoke the interest in the breath. How is the breath now? Is it starting? Is it at the height? Is it, you know, is it descending? You know, is it turning into the out-breath? Then you can completely get absorbed into the breath, you know, and everything else disappears, yeah? And you will see the mind is getting focused, yeah? And it is a feeling that every one of you will notice, you know? The mind gets really drawn into one point, yeah? But it doesn't mean that you go into this point, but, you know, it gets focused, yeah? Once it gets focused, you know, everything that is on the periphery, you know, I mean, gets far away, and we don't even notice it. Even, you know, if there was lots of pain, you know, I mean, we don't even notice it, yeah? It's so far away, yeah? And it is the same thing with the Buddha, yeah? People lose their Buddha, all the Buddha is gone. No! What is gone is the interest in the Buddha. Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you can enjoy the breath. Huh? Only, you know, I mean, only in samadhi, the only exception to the rule is, so when we start with the breath, we should continue with the breath. When we start with the Buddha breathing in and Do breathing out, you know, then we should continue. And sooner or later, once we get concentrated, either the Buddha is falling away or the breath is falling away, and then we stay with the Buddha or with the breath, yeah? The exception for samatha is, you know, when the pain becomes so strong that we cannot concentrate on the breath anymore or on the Buddha anymore, then we're going to investigate the breath, investigate the pain. And that means, you know, we, instead of focusing on the Buddha or on the breath, we focus on the pain, yeah? And then, once we can focus on the pain, then we ask the question, what is pain? Where is the pain? Is it changing? Is it, you know, is it constant? All these questions, yeah? And don't listen to any answers, yeah? We don't ask where the pain is coming from because that leads to thinking, yeah? We want to know what, we want to understand what is pain, yeah? And then, you know, once we are able to investigate pain, we can investigate any kind of feeling. For instance, fear, yeah? What is fear? How does it feel like, yeah? So with any kind of feeling, the first thing is we accept it, yeah? And that is very difficult for pain, or that is very difficult for fear, or it is even more difficult for restlessness, yeah? Or it's difficult also for boredom, yeah? Feel the feeling of boredom and accept it, and then ask, yeah? Actually, boredom, you know, the moment you're interested in boredom, the boredom disappears, yeah? Because it's the opposite of interest, yeah? If I'm bored with something, I have no interest, yeah? If I'm getting interested in boredom itself, it has to disappear. It's impossible to stay on. Yeah? But restlessness is something, it's something also. They're very similar. Yeah? Restlessness is a feeling that it is not concentrated. Yeah? So it goes out in all directions. Yeah? But the moment you try to concentrate it, then restlessness is also gone. Yeah? But it's so difficult, we find it so unpleasant, this kind of restlessness, or we find it unpleasant, a kind of, you know, boredom, that we are not likely to investigate. Yeah? But the moment we concentrate on, yeah, just, yeah, okay, how is the feeling, you know, how does it feel like? Yeah? This, we can say, we can put the label on restlessness, and then we feel it. Okay, let's feel it. The whole body, yeah, how does it feel? Yeah. And then concentrate it on, and then ask the questions, yeah. How does it feel like? How does it, you know, and later on, how does it compare, you know? How does it compare to boredom? How does it compare to fear? How does it compare to anger? How does it compare to grief, yeah? When we start our investigation of pain, that is actually, you know, the sharpening stone for our wisdom, yeah? And with that investigation of pain, we can investigate any kind of feeling that comes up. The first thing, accepting, and then asking the right question. Not where it's coming from. That is a question that makes us think, yeah? We don't want to think, yeah? We just want to ask question, where is it coming from? Where is it, you know, where is it located? Is it anicca? Is it anatta? Is it dukkha? Yeah? We use the three principles, the three characteristics, yeah? Anicca, anatta, dukkha, impermanence, yeah? Not self, yeah? Because we can ask, you know, who sees that pain? Who knows there is pain? Does the pain know it's pain? Huh? So we can distance ourselves, yeah? I mean, if this glass is in front of your eyes, you don't see it. So if we distance ourselves from the feeling, then we can observe it, you know? Is it round? Is it, what kind of color has it? You know, we can all ask this question, yeah? But if we believe we are the pain, then our investigation is over. If we believe we are the fear, then our investigation is over. All these things, all these feelings, we can investigate, yeah? But the first thing is we use the principle of anatta. It's not me, it's not mine, it doesn't belong to me. Who sees the pain? Or who sees the fear? Yeah? And with that, you know, we put the object in front of our sati, yeah? And then observe it. Yeah?
I don't quite understand, because in Sotapan, they still have greed and hatred.
Yeah.
Is that right? But what about anger? So when we are
What is hatred? I mean, anger is a part of hatred, yeah? It's aversion. I mean, call it aversion, call it, you know, dislike, yeah? Any form of dislike is, yeah? You're a human being.
But is that a breaking precept?
How can it be a breaking a precept?
There's harsh speech and trying to... You know, when you're angry, you sort of like...
I mean, if you throw that anger out, then it might, yeah? It might be breaking the precept, yeah? So don't throw the anger out, you know. I mean, it is the number one rule, yeah? Don't follow the greed and don't follow the anger. Realize that there's anger and then repeat buddhu, 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 buddhu until the anger is gone. The anger comes through your thoughts, yeah? Of course it's not easy, you know. That's why the Lord Buddha said, you know, it's not, you know, thou shall not. He didn't say that. He said, I train myself not to take what is not given. I train myself not to harm any living being, because he knew we can't do it from one day to the next. Yeah? So, in the evening when you do your daily reflection, you realize that you have done something wrong, and then, yeah, mentally prepare yourself. Tomorrow I will be more observant, you know, have more sati, you know, and see what is the situation. Yeah? Because before the anger comes out, there is a thought, a memory, and all these things. Yeah? You just see, and, you know, anger comes out. Yeah? But, you know, I mean, it's not only seeing. You know, in a mind moment, there are 3,000 computations. Yeah? All these memories, all these thoughts that come together, you know, in the form, you know, they rush, just rush out, yeah. But if we have sati, we see the first step, yeah, and then we say, okay, no, I'm not going this way, yeah. Just like, you know, when you go in, you know, when you go in Brunei and you don't, you see the dark road, you know, say, oh, no, I'm not going the dark road, I'm going the road where there's lots of light. But if you don't have this awareness, you just rush, you know, towards the thing, you know, that you, yeah. And then you end up in the dark road, yeah. No, anger is not, you know, against the precepts, yeah. Letting out the anger and harming other people, you know, is against the precepts, yeah. Or getting angry, you know, that somebody has more and then start to steal, you know, yeah. He doesn't deserve it, yeah. So I take it from him because he doesn't deserve it, I deserve it more, yeah. Things like that, yeah. That is going against the precept, yeah. That is not breaking the precepts, but, you know, be careful about your intention. Maybe you had the intention, yeah? For instance, if a mosquito sits there, you know, and then there's anger, you know, and then you squash it. There is some intention, yeah? There is not the direct intention, you know, when you see, you know, when you see an ant, you know, yeah? Okay, now I kill you, yeah? That, of course, you know, I mean, there's slight intention, there's medium intention, there's strong intention, yeah? And slight intention will have slight results, and medium intention will have medium, and strong intention, you know, have strong results, yeah? If you kill somebody out of anger, even in our law, yeah, it is very different than if you plan 2 years ahead how to kill this person, yeah? The punishment is much, much stronger if you plan something, yeah? If you planned it for a long time, then if you do it out of affection, yeah? Yeah? That was not, you know, I mean, if you don't have the intention to kill these beings, yeah? And actually, you know, if you see it, yeah? If you look, yeah? They're still crawling around, yeah? If you don't walk, you know, I mean, normally we walk barefoot, yeah, on our walking path, yeah, so I mean, the ants, they have lots of room, you know, to, yeah, if they are not the big ones, yeah, then you might squash them, yeah. If you don't have intention to kill, you know, I mean, yeah, but if you see it and then step on it, you know, then there is some intention, yeah, okay? Yeah?
About crime.
About what?
Crime. Crime.
Does any?
Okay. Pride.
Oh, pride. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
In one of the Dhammakos, we are talking about that it's very difficult to see, and that is, and that if somebody has already cried inside him, it's like he is already dead. I think it was wrong, but because it's okay, very important to see.
Oh. Well, it depends on how you translate it, you know. I mean, conceit, yeah, is something, you know, when somebody is conceited, you know, that's why I said, you know, why I talked about gratitude and respect, yeah. I mean, if somebody has some respect and has some gratitude, you know, I mean, his conceit is not very strong. Every one of us has, of course, conceit, yeah. But if you are willing to give in, yeah, yeah, if you are willing to subordinate ourselves to somebody else, you know, say, okay, you know, he has gone the path, he should know, you know, okay, let's do what he says, you know, then our pride is not very strong. It can come up, yeah, but people who believe, you know, just like I said, you know, before, in the West, you know, there are very conceited people who studied all the Dhamma, you know, and think they know everything, yeah, but they have never practiced, yeah, they are very difficult to be taught, yeah, because they know everything, yeah, but they have nothing experienced, yeah? So these people, you know, most of the time are dead people, yeah? Because they cannot be taught, yeah? The teaching of the Lord Buddha is actually the teaching of showing us the path that we should go, not learn about, you know, how the path is, how it develops at this corner or that corner or this, you know, what we see then, what we see then. No, he actually taught us, you know, go and see for yourself. Yeah, go, go, yeah, not learn. Yeah? No, pride can be, you know, I mean, when Lung Tam Maha Bo saw somebody with strong conceit, yeah, everybody of us has conceit. Sure, I mean, there's nobody in this world, yeah, who doesn't have conceit, yeah. I mean, they're conceited, they just think, you know, I'm right in this respect, I'm right in that respect, you know, because I know, or because I think I know, yeah. So that is not really that harmful. But if somebody, you know, is really conceited, you know, he cannot be taught, yeah. So when Lung Tam Maha Bo saw somebody like that, he kicked him out of the monastery, yeah. But that happens not very often, yeah. So Lung Tam scolded him, you know, and this person, you know, didn't give in, you know, so then he was out, yeah. If we realize that we do something wrong, I mean, then somebody can help us, yeah. If we think we did not do something wrong, that's the end of the matter, yeah. That's the end of the problem. Yeah, and so, okay? Yeah? You understand? Huh? the knowledge, we cannot destroy. But everything, you know, that is born out of this knowledge as form of thoughts, opinions and things can be destroyed. So if we destroy these things, when there was really some knowledge, some knowing, yeah, we cannot destroy it. Yeah? Nobody can tell us, yeah. When we touch in the fire, we know how the fire is, you know. We don't need words for it, yeah. We just know it. We have the experience of the fire. When you see something, you know, and experience something, you know, then this experience is the real thing. Everything, you know, that is made out of this experience is wrong. Kachai? Pichanadu? Yeah? Yeah, I mean that is the last question. Yeah, I mean it's long. No. How can you forget it? Yeah, no. But it might go in the background if you think a lot. You know, it might go in the background. Yeah. So okay, finished. So. Any, you practice, yeah? You understood what I was saying? Huh? Really? I know it's not comfortable to hear, yeah? We don't like to hear, yeah? Every one of us likes to hear he's a good person, yeah? Yeah? Nobody likes to hear that he's full of shit. Yeah? But actually our body is full of shit, yeah? But we don't like to see it, you know, we don't like to smell it, you know, that's why we use perfume and soap, yeah. We don't like the shit, you know, coming out of our body, yeah. That's why we use perfume and soap, yeah, no? Yeah. It smells, oh, it's disgusting, you know. But we love this body, yeah. That is the contradiction that we have to investigate, yeah. Okay, so. Mm-hmm.